Well, now we begin one of the holiest weeks of the year. We enter into the great mystery of who we are as Catholics. As Christians, this is, without a doubt, some of the most powerful days of our life. And a greater significance there could not be. It is truly, and without a doubt, one of those incredible moments when we consider within our own lives that this is the reason we still have hope. It is still the reason that we can have hope in so many things. It is a profound mystery. Because we find ourselves here because of a death, a separation, a cutting off. At a certain point, humanity as a race decided that it didn't want to do what God asked. We cut ourselves off from God, we find ourselves isolated, separated. When I think about this, this great mystery that it is, I can't help but think about a moment in my childhood. When I lived in the Lenox Village in a very large neighborhood, it was part of a greater subdivision, there were tons of kids, there were tons of people, it was just a big area. And my next door neighbor, I still remember my next door neighbor, they had this big 3-car garage, it was huge, and usually they could only fit one of their 2 cars in it, sometimes they could fit the second car. It was full of stuff. And they had only 2 boys. And having 3 brothers of my own, I couldn't fathom the idea of only having 1 sibling. And they had a lot of stuff they wanted for nothing physically. I mean, there were so many things. And yet, so very often, we played in my yard. People came to us. Apparently, when you have half a baseball team already sitting inside your house, it's a good place to start when you need to start a game. And I remember a day when we were playing something. And I don't remember specifically what game we were playing, but we were playing something, and there was a large portion of the neighborhood playing along, and we were there as a big group. And the 2 neighbors came over, the 2 boys, they came over, and we were playing, and a fight broke out as to how we were going to play this. One of them insisted that he had stuff that made it more enjoyable. He insisted that his rules and his style of play, it was going to make it better. And we weren't really on board with that. We didn't want to do it that way. And he got angry, and he called us all names, and he stomped off. We went back to playing. We were okay. And yet, as we continued to play, I noticed that he didn't go inside. He just walked off the property and stood on the edge of the property next door. And he stood on the grass, and he began to cry. And he sort of squat right there, and he began to cry. And we went back to playing. Nothing for us to lose. We didn't care. And yet, it wasn't enough. I knew we had to do something more. So after watching this for a little while and playing the game and going through and doing these things, I finally went over to him and I asked him, I said, "Do you want to come back? Simple invitation, do you want to return? It's not going to be the way you want to play the rules. It's not going to be with the stuff that you want to do. It's going to be the game that we're playing." And he said to me, "I don't want to stay here. I want to come back." I said, "Well, will you play the way we've got it set up?" And he dried his eyes, and he looked at me incredulously. He never believed in 1,000 years that it would probably return that way. I said, "Well, come on back." And we came back, and nobody wanted him on the team, but I apparently am very persuasive when I set my mind to it, and we went back to the game. And I think about this. I mean, our salvation is obviously so much bigger than the game, and in so many ways it's a poor comparison. But genuinely consider for a moment that what we face is this strange life where we decided that we knew better than God. We didn't want to follow the rule the way that He set it up. We didn't want to follow it the way He laid it out. And we pushed away, and we experienced His death because we pushed. And we cut ourselves off. We find ourselves isolated, cut off. We find ourselves standing on the property line instead of actually in heaven. We find ourselves removed from the situation just far enough away so that we can experience the frustration and loss with no means of getting ourselves back there by ourselves. We can't cross the divide. The divide is there. And yet, through no merit of our own, for no reason that we have for ourselves, it's not like we had something to offer that God wanted. God crossed the divide. He sent His Son, who is God. God crossed the divide. He took on human flesh. He stepped out of what He was doing. He stepped out of His divinity, and He stepped down to earth to cross that divide, to extend His hand, to say, "Do you want to come back?" And it's such a powerful moment to consider. Because He didn't need to ask. He didn't need to offer. Quite the contrary, God could go back to doing something else. It would be no skin off His nose. And yet, He crosses His divide and He makes every sacrifice necessary. He surrenders dignity. He surrenders personal desire. He surrenders everything of His own. Comes into humanity. Is rejected by humanity. Despised, hated, and executed by humanity. And yet, without a single sterling letter of recommendation, He invites us back. He extends His hand and asks us if we want to come back. And now it falls to us. He's made the sacrifice. He's crossed the divide. He's done all of these things. And now we come into this great mystery where we witness everything it would cost to offer us a simple opportunity to return back to God. Do you want to come back and play by the rules? Or do you want to just stand outside?